This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
11 a.m., hour number two of the Braden Sirpredit Show, live and local every day from 10 to 2. I am Braden Sirpredit, and if you want to, be sure to dial up and give us a call, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Also, be sure to follow us on social media. You can follow me at B_SURP on all social media platforms. Follow me on Twitter/X. Follow me on Instagram. I'm also on TikTok. I think that's it. So, my YouTube page, at B_SURP. You can subscribe, give us a like. Be sure to give us a like on today's show. Subscribe to 97.3 The Fan so you can be with us every single day as we talk Padres baseball and we talk San Diego FC and Aztecs and everything else that's going on underneath the sun here in San Diego, California. We talked about a little bit in the last segment about Mike Schilt's comments and the way he views things on Elias Diaz potentially teasing what the catching situation is going to be like in terms of the backup of who makes this team. We know Diaz is on this team. I mean, I think that's an absolute lock. The contract they gave him, the way he's been playing, for where he's at in terms of veteran presence and still kind of youth-wise, he's going to be on the team. No doubt about it. Now, who's going to be the backup? And we'll dive a little bit more into this as we go on and like to hear from you Padres fans of where you think some of these position battles should go as we lay this out. But before we get to that point, I do want to talk about people being afraid of the offense, nervous about the offense. When is the time to start worrying about the offense in spring training? First of all, as I mentioned before, there's only so much you can get out of this. Guys are working on different things. Guys are trying to get ready for the season. They're trying to get in shape. They're not playing entire games yet. You're seeing a bunch of different pitchers. It's not, the scouting reports and everything that gets put into this is not necessarily all out like it normally is for a regular game. So you can't necessarily, view spring training like this huge, huge deal. The guys are just trying to get back into shape. If you look at just Manny Machado, he's not a player that I don't think anybody worries about, but I do want to mention this now. I'm going to mention it now. So in April and May, I could just point back to this moment right now in time, for when people start freaking out about Manny Machado. And thinking he's just getting too old now and he can't do it. Manny Machado in spring training right now is 2-for-14. Not a very big sample size, only 14 at bats. He's got a double, he's got a home run. He's hitting 143 with a 143 on base and a 429 slug. Who cares? Who cares? I'm not worried about Manny. Let's take that a little bit further. It's going to kind of tease a segment that we're going to do later on in the show. Not today, but as the weeks progress and the days progress, are you good? Anybody questioning the offense right now? Or Manny Machado? I've seen fewer of the Manny Machado questioning than I have the Padres offense questioning. But are you good? Manny Machado in April, March and April in a Padres uniform, with the exception of 2022 when he raked out of the gate, he's put up some very mediocre numbers. Last season, he hit 250 in the March-April spin. Now, again, he was banged up. He was only the DH. But still, he had 250 with four home runs. There is a guarantee, actually, when you start looking at this data about Manny Machado, that he might hit four home runs in the first month. That's almost a guarantee. But anyway, so last year, 250 with a 301 batting average on balls in play. And he had a 98 SOPS plus. Now, what an SOPS plus is the comparison of Manny Machado to the rest of Major League Baseball in that month. That would be the particular stat or split. It's a split OPS plus. There's also something called a TOPS plus, which also goes back to where Manny compares to the rest of Manny's stats in that particular area. That is also very low. But last year, 98 SOPS plus, which means if you looked at the average Major League Baseball player in the month of April, 100 was the average. He was slightly below average. In 2023, he hit 236 with a 279 batting average on balls in play. His OPS plus, again, comparing himself to the rest of Major League Baseball just for that month, was 84. Again, the average player is 100, so he's less. Still hit four home runs, though. You're almost guaranteed to see four home runs for Manny Machado in the month of April. Magically. Magically. 2022, he actually raked. I mean, that was kind of a fluke, right? 386 average, 438 batting average on balls in play. Had a 214 SOPS plus. He was at 114 spots higher than the average player in the month of April in 2022. 2021, hit 240. 2019, hit 236. Again, three home runs, four home runs. He's going to hit four home runs. He's going to hit for an average, medium average, a 250 or less average. And I say that because he always gets off to slow starts. But then you look at his July-August numbers. 2024 is August numbers. He hit 302 with seven home runs, 284 batting average on balls in play, 155 OPS plus. 2023, hit 309 in July and August, 11 home runs, 191 OPS plus. 2022, 342 average, 6 home runs, 382 batting average on balls in play, 183 SOPS plus. 2021, 8 pumps, 371 average, 357 batting average on balls in play. And 2019, same thing, 6 home runs, a triple, 278 and a 279 batting average on balls in play with a 118 SOPS plus. I threw a lot of stats at you right there, but what it's telling you is Manny always gets off to a slow start and then really takes off in July and August and when the Padres need him to do it the most. So again, he's off to a 2-14 start. Really doesn't matter. He's going to probably not get off to the greatest of starts in the first month of the year either. That's almost guaranteed, with the exception of 2022. The only thing that's kind of guaranteed when it comes to Manny in the first month of the year is he's going to hit four home runs. I thought that was the most remarkable stat that I saw last night when I was looking this up. In the first month of the season for the Padres, it says April/March because sometimes, you know when the season starts. Four home runs, all in a Padres uniform in the first month of the year. It's almost guaranteed he's going to hit four home runs. It's also almost a guarantee that the guy's going to hit over 300 in the months of July and August in the second half of the season. If you look at some other stats with just baseball players in spring training, Kyle Tucker started his spring training 0-for-20 before he hit a bomb last night, yesterday. It's zero hits and 18 plate appearances during spring training this so far in 2025. He was 0 for 20 going into yesterday before he hit a home run. I don't think anybody thinks Kyle Tucker is going to have a rough season. So you mix in some of those players together in a lineup, and you go, man, our offense doesn't look very good. You start looking at some of the stats that the Padres have put together in spring training. Is it time to worry about the offense? No, it's not time to worry about the offense. It's spring training. It's April 10th. It's May 10th. March 10th. It's March 10th. Or I messed that up. Yeah, sure. Jackson Merrill's hitting well. Jackson Merrill's a contact hitter. The guy's always been a good hitter. He's hitting .316. Eddie Rosario's had a great spring. He's hitting .200. In fact, there's only three players that even qualify for an average right now, and that's Tirso Ornelas, Oscar Gonzalez, and Eggy Rosario. That's it. Nobody else has enough at-bats to even qualify for any type of statistics. Gonzalez is 10 for 30, and Tirso is 10 for 27. Nobody's making these assumptions or making major roster decisions on just the stats alone. They're looking at how they put things together. And so when we talk about this position player battles that the Padres have, and we're going to talk about this on the next couple of Mondays as the season, as spring training finishes up and we get ready for March 27th. We've got about 2.5 weeks left of spring training games in spring training. We talked about the catching situation. Diaz is on the team. He's one of the locks. I think out of the 13 position players that are going to make the opening day roster, 7 are already written in permanent marker. I think the catcher is Elias Diaz. I think your infielders, Arise, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Machado. I think outfielders, Merrill, and Tatis. I think all 7 of those players are locks for opening day. I think there's a separate category of most likely on the team, and I think that's Tyler Wade and Jason Hayward. And then that really leaves who's left. So you've already filled 9 spots, and you got 4 more you got to fill. You got 3 catchers battling for 1, Campusano, Sullivan, Maldonado. You have 2 outfielders battling for 1 spot, in my opinion, Lockridge and Ornelas, and both of them have options. And you have 5 infielders battling for 2 spots. 3 of those guys aren't on the 40-man roster. Brasau, Gurriel, Sheets. Now, you could mix it up a little bit and think maybe they take an extra outfielder over an infielder. I mean, Connor Joe is listed as an infielder for this. But Connor Joe, Eggy Rosario, Mike Brasau, Yuli Gurriel, Gavin Sheets. Brasau and Sheets both have options left. Gurriel does not. Those 3 players are not on the 40-man roster, which means even if you do have them start in the minor leagues, if you pull them up for any reason, you have to get somebody off the 40-man roster in order for them to play. Connor Joe has options left. Eggy Rosario does not. That's kind of how it lays out. I'm telling you who's making the team. I'm going to give you the roster. I almost think I got it down. I'm going to give you the opening day roster for the San Diego Padres when we come back. This is the Brayden Cipriani Show, live and local, middays from 10 to 2, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. 11:18 on a Monday morning. Brayden Cipriani on the Brayden Cipriani Show, live and local for you, middays from 10 to 2, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We're talking to Padres baseball. If you want to weigh in, you can weigh in on the chat. On YouTube, you can also tweet at me, at B_SURP, tweet at the station, 97.3 The Fan. Be sure to follow us wherever you find social media, at B_SURP. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on TikTok. We'll be posting more content over the next couple of weeks or so as we start ramping up this show here on the middays on 97.3 The Fan. And be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. All of these shows are in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, all that fun stuff. If you want to weigh in on the Padres roster, I'm going to tell you who's making this team. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I'm going to tell you who's making this team, at least right now. And this is going to change. It might change in the next couple of weeks. But as of right now, if I had to put together a roster, here's who's making the team from a position player standpoint. And I got all the numbers. I got, you know, projected numbers from FanGraphs, and I have the options and who's got options and who doesn't. But as I mentioned before, you have 13 spots on this team for position player. Seven of them are already taken by players that you can just write in pen because you know they're going to be there every single day. The question is for these particular players is where they're going to play in the field and where they're going to hit. And that's basically, some of those are very easy to put together as well. Elias Diaz is going to be on the team as a catcher. He's most likely going to be the starting catcher for the San Diego Padres. Luis Arraez is making this team, obviously. Xander Bogaerts, Jake Cronenworth, Manny Machado, Jackson Merrill, Fernando Tatis Jr. I think with the money that they gave Jason Hayward and the money they gave Tyler Wade, I think those two players are in the probably on the team spot. I wouldn't necessarily say they're locks, but because some things can happen, but the way Tyler Wade is as a player in the clubhouse and how everybody loves him on the team and they gave him the $900,000 and with a club option for $1 million next year, he's most likely on the team. Jason Hayward, I think, is the same way. I don't think they bring in Jason Hayward just to cut him before the season starts. So those two particular players, I don't necessarily think they're locks, but I think they're probably on the team. So that has nine spots taken. Now you're looking for four more. And I think we've talked about it with the catching position. I think there's three for one. And I honestly think there's probably two for one. I don't think Luis Campusano is going to make this team unless an injury happens. He has an option left. Mike Schilt has already talked about defensive catchers, and he views the catching position as defense first, offense secondary. And Luis Campusano is an offensive player first. But that being said, he's hitting 167 again. Spring training doesn't really matter, but he hasn't really done that particularly well. And the Padres would continue to wait for this guy to really come into his own. But he's 2 for 12 in spring, a 167 average, 231 on base, 398 OPS. I mean, it's not like he's raking right now. If Campusano was raking, and he still can. I mean, he's only had a handful of at-bats. He's had 12 at-bats. If he goes out there and starts to rake and he can hit his way on this team, maybe. But as of right now, I don't think he's making this team, which leaves you two spots. Or two positions, two players battling for one spot. Brett Sullivan and Martin Maldonado. Brett Sullivan's on the 40-man roster. He is out of options. Martin Maldonado is not on the 40-man roster. So when talking about defensive catchers, do you want the youth or do you want a veteran? Brett Sullivan's not necessarily a spring chicken. He's 31 years old. Projected OPS of 642 this year. Again, defensive first, offense second. That's how Mike Schilt views the position. So do you go with Brett Sullivan, who you know what you got out of him because he's been with the organization the last couple of years, or do you go with Martin Maldonado, who hit under 200 for the last couple of years and is 38 years old, about to turn 39? If you decide to go with Martin Maldonado, you can put him into a spot on the 40-man, because you got to take Sullivan. You could take Sullivan off. He's out of options anyway, so you have to get rid of him in order for him to go back down to AAA. But then again, if you sneak him through waivers, you put him in AAA. If you want to bring him back up, you got to re-add him to the 40-man. It's a problem. So based on the 40-man roster and the fact that Maldonado is 38, I honestly think they'd probably go with Brett Sullivan. I'd go with Brett Sullivan. He's out of options. He's a good backup catcher. He could be in that spot until Campusano maybe gets up to speed in AAA and have him back up Elias Diaz. So I think your catchers come opening day, if tomorrow was opening day, I think it would be Brett Sullivan, and I think it's Elias Diaz. Go to the infielders. We talked about Arraez making the team, Bogaerts making the team, Cronenworth making the team, Machado. Tyler Wade probably on the team. That leaves two other players that are on the 40-man roster in Connor Joanegui Rosario, and three players that are not on the 40-man roster, and Mike Brosseau, Yuli Gurriel, and Gavin Sheets. Mike Brosseau and Gavin Sheets have options left. They could theoretically go down to AAA. Now, that being said, I don't know if they can get out of their contract if they have a deal in there, if they don't make it to the major leagues by a certain particular time that they can opt out of said contract. But they have options. The one that doesn't is Yuli Gurriel. I think there's no reason Yuli Gurriel should be on this team. I know he worked out with Manny. There's no reason for it. He's 40 years old. To be the DH? I mean, Edgar Rosario is 25 and he's out of options. And he's been hitting the ball. He's got pop. And he can hit left-handed pitching. And he does a really good job hitting left-handed pitching. I know he's hitting 200 right now, but as we've talked about, it's kind of an obsolete stat. He's got a 273 on base, a 467 slug. He's got an OPS of 740. Youth versus veteran. Topic of conversation. I'm taking the youth. Which is interesting because AJ Preller has always taken the vet. He has had a lot of vets. And I think you do need some veterans as bench pieces. But I think you could get that out of a guy like Eggy Rosario, and I think you could get that out of a guy like Connor Joe. Now, the thing that hurts Connor Joe is the numbers game of having options left. But if I'm picking two of the five, it's Connor Joe and Eggy Rosario. And I think Connor Joe and Eggy Rosario make the team, which leads to the final spot. And I think the final spot on the team is an interesting conversation. Brandon Lockridge and Tirso Ornelas. And I think it's such a deeper conversation because I think it's very close. Now, Connor Joe is listed as an infielder. He could theoretically be a fourth outfielder. They could throw him in left field. And so now you're looking at a position of, are we using this spot to be a pinch hitter? Are we using this spot to be a pinch runner? Are we using this spot to be a DH? Are we using this for a defensive replacement? I think both guys provide two totally different things and two totally different aspects to their game. And Tirso is doing a great job. He's hitting 370 right now in the spring. He's 10 for 27. 630 slug, a 1099 OPS. But I think it's deeper than that. Brandon Lockridge, Tirso Ornelas. Who makes the team? I'm going to tell you who I think should make the team, and I'm going to tell you who I think will make the team when we come back. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Braden Suprenich Show rolls on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. 11:33 on a gorgeous Monday here in San Diego. Enjoy it while you can, because it's supposed to rain and snow this week in San Diego County. It's not going to snow in Poway, because it's not East County, it's North County. But maybe in Alpine or Julian or something like that. Anybody see the snow this weekend from Thursday's rain? You can see it. The best part where I can see snow where I live in North County is up Pomerata Road, where Pomerata Road comes to the top of the hill before it dumps down into Scripps Pirate Parkway. You can see all the mountains blanketed with snow, and that's probably going to be the case next week. Atmospheric river coming into play this week. Thank God I have softball on Mondays. I have it on Wednesdays, too. Wednesdays is going to get canceled, for sure. But Monday, definitely, tonight, you're going to be able to play. 6 o'clock game got canceled. I guess the other team forfeited. Playing at 7 at the Sportsplex, and then at 9 with the my brother's team. So it should be fun to get some softball in while it's day. And daylight savings. Anybody get smashed by daylight savings on Sunday morning? I actually am doing all right. It's good to have the sun back out at like 6 o'clock. Went to church last night at 5 o'clock, got out, it was 6. It wasn't dark outside, it was great. Get the little tease of the summer and the spring here in San Diego, and now you're going to get a bunch of rain. Which we need the rain, so it's fine. The chat will always be, this will be the contestant of the show. As somebody that has grown up in the Scripps Poway area, we know it's North County. But with East County roots that I have with my family, you know, I still listen to Sam when he says East County, born and raised, even though Poway is North County. I won't bore you with that every day. Chat can just have their stuff with that. I've been getting a lot of messages and stuff about the show, and I appreciate everybody that's reached out, everybody that's followed me on social media. If you want to weigh into the show, you can on social media, at @B_SURP. You can leave a voice message on the Odyssey app. Be sure to like and follow us on the Odyssey app as well. We are streaming audio-wise there. We are on your radio. We are also on YouTube. At @B_SURP, you can follow, you can subscribe to my YouTube page as well as the fans. If you're new to the fan on YouTube, go check it out because it's fun. You can get into the conversation. We see your chats on YouTube a lot faster than some of the other things. And again, if you want to weigh in, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I saw some of you call in earlier. I didn't put you on, couldn't get you on hold, but we'll love, gladly take your phone calls. We're going to talk about Tirsor Ennellis and Brandon Lockridge and kind of putting this final part of the Padres opening day roster together. Again, still 2 weeks out, and I think this is going to change for next week. Somebody in the chat did mention, and this is why I didn't have it on there, about Jose Iglesias. I don't know why he's nowhere on their roster. I was trying to find it. If you look at the pod, and maybe it's just the computer, maybe they just haven't put him on it there because they signed him late. He's not on the active roster on their website. He's not on their depth chart on their website. He's not on their 40-man roster, which we knew he wasn't going to be on the 40-man roster. And he's not on the non-roster invitee list. He's nowhere to be found. The only place that you find him on the roster is on the transaction page where it says Jose Iglesias assigned to the San Diego Padres. And I know he's on the Padres because he was wearing number 7 in a game over the weekend. But that's why he wasn't part of the list. Now, that being said, Connor Joe, Eggy Rosario, Jose Iglesias, Mike Brosseau, Yuli Gurriel, Gavin Sheets. You know, Connor Joe might be on the outside looking in. Or maybe it is Lockridge. Maybe Connor Joe is that fourth outfielder with the group that they have out there instead of being an infielder. I think the versatility of Connor Joe helps out a little bit more than Brandon Lockridge or Tirsor Ennellis. But we're going to talk about that in just a second. What just went down in the NFL? Because we have had some NFL free agency. Yeah, we're going to get to Lockridge and Tirsor Ennellis before the top of the hour. You got Sam Darnold signing a contract with the Seattle Seahawks today. You have had a lot of moves in the NFL. Devontae Adams, now a member of the Los Angeles Rams, that happened over the weekend. Chris Godwin has re-signed with the Buccaneers. DK Metcalf is now a Steeler. We've seen some rumors that the Steelers might be adding another veteran quarterback. Aaron Rodgers going to Pittsburgh? Could you imagine the locker room in Pittsburgh with Aaron Rodgers, George Pickens, and DK Metcalf? Over the weekend, again, Geno Smith got traded to the Raiders. Seahawks have now signed Sam Darnold to a $110 million contract. I understand what the Seahawks are doing. Geno wanted a new contract. Going to be very expensive. I don't necessarily know if the Seahawks can win by giving Geno Smith that amount of money, so they elect to trade him away for some draft picks, as he's now a member of the Raiders, and they go a little bit cheaper with Sam Darnold. The only thing I'm concerned about for Seattle when it comes to Sam Darnold, is it the Kevin O'Connell effect in Minnesota? Kevin O'Connell, La Costa Canyon, Maverick, San Diego State, Aztec, great offensive mind in the National Football League, one of the best football minds out there right now. That guy has had success with every quarterback he has worked with, especially as a head coach. Kirk Cousins was great in Minnesota in his last year with O'Connell as their head coach. And I don't want to poke the bear over here in the seat, but then Atlanta signed him, and they gave him a lot of money. Atlanta messed that up multiple ways anyway by drafting, you know, Penix as well. I mean, I don't know what they were thinking on that. Pick one or the other. They didn't have to do that. They could have saved money, got a Darnold deal like Seattle just did, and then gone with their young player. But Cousins, you know, coming off the Achilles, he had a tough year. Sam Darnold, you started to see at the end of the season for Minnesota in the playoffs, he just wasn't that guy. He was good enough to fill in and win you some games, but he just wasn't that guy to take you to the next level. So I understand what Seattle's doing. I just don't think that's the guy they're looking for. Maybe they're looking in the draft. I mean, maybe he's just a placeholder right now. Maybe they're looking in the draft in the next couple of years. I like the move in terms of overall, you know, money-wise, right? The other one I like, too, here's a funny one to me. We talked about this off-air, and we're going to get the Tirso Ornelas and Brandon Lockridge debate that's now affected, obviously, with Jose Iglesias being part of the team as well, about who's making the opening roster. But the one to me that's hilarious, and it could go back to, are you good, is the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns and their decision-making is always hilarious to me. I don't get it. And are you good, Cleveland Browns, and are you good, Myles Garrett? I think Myles Garrett has been the focal point of the Browns since he got drafted. I mean, he is the franchise player for them. He is the face of the franchise for the Cleveland Browns. And he's a great defensive lineman. Great defensive lineman. But he goes out during the offseason, he goes, I would like to play somewhere that's going to be a winner. I want to win a Super Bowl. It's all about winning. Which is that's a fine play. It's a fine play. And you know what Cleveland's going to do in order to keep said player is they're going to offer him more money. But for Cleveland, he is a luxury that they cannot afford. They can't afford Myles Garrett. They don't have enough around him in order to bring them to the Super Bowl. They don't. Their quarterback situation's in flux. They did a little bit better with the offense with bringing in some weapons in here of that, but they don't have they don't have anything around Myles Garrett. And you know what doesn't help them? Giving a defensive lineman $40 million freaking dollars. That doesn't help them. They can't build around that. You can't build around Myles Garrett when you give him $40 million. They would have been better off trading Myles Garrett to a team that can't afford him to be that added piece, using the draft picks, because they would have got a haul, and redid their entire roster. I don't know why they were doing that. I don't get it. Are you good? Cleveland Browns, are you good? Myles Garrett, are you good? DK Metcalf to the Steelers. I think that's an interesting move. Now, what are they going to do with that? I don't know. The rumors of Aaron Rodgers potentially going there would be outstanding. In fact, that's already on ESPN.com. Pittsburgh Steelers might be in play for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, George Pickens What a locker room that would be. Mike Tomlin's going to go insane if that's the case. I know Justin Fields was interested potentially going to the Jets. Like the Jets were interested there. I don't know if that has gone through yet or not. I like Justin Fields. I think he's got an opportunity to be successful that the Bears did not give him. But if you want to join the show today, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973 is our phone number. We're going to talk a little bit more about this Padres breakdown here. Tirso Ornelas and Brandon Lockridge. And I'd love to know what the fans think on this situation, because it depends on how you want to put together your roster. I think in terms of where the roster is and where they have assets, I think having Brandon Lockridge a part of the team is probably a better call for the Padres than Tirso Ornelas. And I think Tirso Ornelas is well on his way to making his Padres debut. They had a great piece on him. Jeff Sanders, what a great article on Tirso Ornelas. The player from TJ who could potentially make his Major League debut in a Padres uniform, a place that he's got a lot of friends and family here. And I think he is definitely a local favorite right now to try to make the team. I think Brandon Lockridge helps you out in a couple of different more ways than Tirso Ornelas does, just based on the way the roster is already constructed. Connor Joe and Jason Hayward. I mean, Tirso is turning himself into a power hitter. And he's made some adjustments. And I like the way that he has put together these adjustments. And this is all in that article by Jeff Sanders. Numbers aside, he's made some mechanical adjustments. Ornelas had a 63% ground ball rate during his first stint in AAA El Paso. He then lowered it to a 49.7% rate in 2023, which even went down a little bit further last year to a 47.7% ground ball rate, and it's even down to 40.9% heading into Sunday's start as the designated hitter in Scottsdale yesterday. From a physical standpoint, this is what Tirso said about his approach. From a physical standpoint, it's lowering my hands a little bit more, bringing my hands a little bit closer to the body and using my legs. But then also from a mental side, it's having the confidence in my skills and my abilities and the fact that I'm a good player. He's doing that in spring training. Leading all Padres this spring with 16 total bags, a home run, four doubles, 375 average, a 667 slug for a team best 1131 OPS through 11 games. 352 career on base percentage in the minors. I mean, the guy's got a good eye for the zone. Always have had an above average grasp of the strike zone. Unlocking the power as he's done this spring is crucial if he's going to leave a lasting impression this spring, although the Padres want to make sure that an emphasis on raising that ground ball rate doesn't, or on lowering that ground ball rate, doesn't adversely affect him at pitcher-friendly Petco Park where fly balls go to die. Mike Schilt likes to swing, said he drove the ball down the left field line the other day. He's driven the ball in the left center field gap. He's gotten base hits all over the ballpark, pulled a homer. I think that's where he's at with his swing and where he wants it to be. He's got options, and I think Tirso Ornelas will make his Padres debut in 2025. I really do. I just don't think that he makes this roster out of the gate. Because where everything is of who's making this roster, and we went through it, right? Diaz and maybe Sullivan catching, Arise, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Machado, Wade, Jason Hayward, Jackson Merrill, Fernando Tatis Jr., Eggy Rosario, Connor Joe, maybe Jose Iglesias. I think Brandon Lockridge and his speed helps this team more than Tirso Ornelas and his power, especially when you see a lot of these numbers in AAA, which is very hitter-friendly. He's working on this new swing. He's put it together the last couple of years. I think you let him develop that more in the PCL. I think you let him continue to hit high. I think you let him just continue doing what he does, and then you can bring him up later. He's got options left. He's got two of them. I think he's a guy that you can bring up on an injury perspective. I think he's a guy that you can bring up to be one of those guys. I would rather have Tirso at age 25 get every day at bats than sit on the bench. I think Brandon Lockridge brings a lot in terms of defensive alignment. I mean, you could bring him in late defensively and move the outfield around a little bit where you have a lot more speed with Lockridge and Merrill and Tatis. But then also you can have Wade and you have options with pinch runners. I like having Lockridge run a little bit more than Wade. I mean, Wade's going to be on the team, but the speed that Lockridge has is great. So, and I know Tirso's doing a good job. You're a little worried about that fly ball situation at Petco Park. It's a, you're going from a PCL that is very offensive friendly to a National League West that's not necessarily as offensively friendly, especially with the humidors now in Arizona and in Colorado. But I like Lockridge over Tirso right now. And honestly, if that's not the matchup, maybe it's Jose Iglesias. You keep Connor Joe because Lockridge and Ornelas both have options. And then Connor Joe is that guy that you can use very versatile as a as an infielder and as an outfielder. Again, Iglesias isn't even on the roster. I mean, I don't even know. You can't even find him on the website, which is surprising to me because he played for them. That might just be a technical issue. But to me, when you look at it and the way that the team lays out, I know you got Tirso and Connor Joe as local guys. I think you have to try to not use that emotion when making these decisions at those particular positions. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's get out to Jocelyn in Oceanside. Jocelyn, what's going on?
Hi, Braden.
What's up?
Congratulations on the show.
I appreciate
first
that.
First caller
on the show, yeah.
Yes. Always go down in history. But no, I'm seriously like super, super happy that we get to hear a familiar voice midday. And I will continue teasing you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yes, yeah. Well, when you encourage a lot more of your minions in there to do the same, so
yeah.
We greatly appreciate that from the North County resident that Jocelyn is up there in Oceanside.
Foul on Braden.
Yes, foul. Get the fouls back. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate
right,
I appreciate
congrats.
The phone call, Jocelyn.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll get more phone calls if we have time in the 12 o'clock hour. I think a lot of fans are torn on the Tirso Ornelas, you know, Brandon Lockridge situation, or even with Jose Iglesias. I think the way that he's only 25 years old, I think you let him be able to develop a little bit more in the minor leagues. Let's get out to one more phone call. Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on? It's a beautiful day out here in SoCal. What's the weather like in New Jersey?
You know, it's nice. I guess it'll be the weather we have now is like 60 degrees. I guess that'd be your winter. You know what I'm saying? I thought you were going to say it was fake. I thought you were going to say that was fake news.
No.
When you open up the show, talk about snow in San Diego.
I mean, snow's here every once in a while.
You had so many bad things happen in Southern California. I guess the snow will be the least of your worries.
That is true.
Or the state's worries.
What do you got for me, Mitch?
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I want you anytime. Congratulations. And I wanted to mention about the NFL. Baseball's here. Well, the NFL is always 12 months a year. I didn't like the Raiders going after Geno. I mean, if you want these ex-Jets, Sam Darnold's out there. Even Aaron Rodgers. I wanted Sam Darnold, and I think Sanders would have fallen to them at six. So I didn't like this, you know.
I agree with you, Mitch, and I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. Honestly, yeah, the Raiders could have had a better time signing Darnold and then looking for somebody in the draft. I think if the Raiders signed Aaron Rodgers, they would have been in trouble. I think you'd been making a deal. You know, the term making a deal with the devil. I'm not calling Aaron Rodgers the devil, but just in the general, it'd just be you don't know what you're signing up for when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. I think the Jets learned that the hard way.
Well, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, and you alluded to where he might be signing later. One of the Steelers' former quarterbacks just signed with Aaron Rodgers' former team, Justin Fields, in a 2-year agreement with the Jets. So the Jets are off the board, and Aaron Rodgers might end up in Pittsburgh where Justin Fields was.
I could see that potentially happening. That was the big thing, was the Steelers were still interested in bringing Justin Fields back, but he was bowling a choice at the Jets.
We've also got news from Ken Rosenthal. We'll Dodgers in agreement with Dave Roberts.
Oh, wow.
Big contract.
Dave Roberts gets an extension. We'll see what that's about when we come back. We'll also break down some more of this roster decision, plus San Diego FC with a huge win on the road. We'll talk about that in the next hour. Brayden Sprenet Show, live and local, middays from 10 to 2, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.